Turn to the book of Philippians. Still in chapter 2. Very short book, but there's sure a whole lot in it. Seems like every it's kind of hard to get past a verse without something in there that speaks to me about either something I need to be doing or something I need to leave off doing. I pray that you're getting some encouragement and help from these verses. It's always been one of my favorite books in the Bible, and a lot to be gained out of studying it. We begin reading in verse 1. It said, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." We looked at that verse last week about fulfilling his joy, and we looked up there, looked back in chapter 1, in verses 25, said, "Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you, all for your furtherance and joy of faith." And we looked at that joy of faith, how joy comes from the Word of God. In other words, when we read the Word of God, it gives us understanding. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And when we study the Word of God, we learn things. We learn about how we have salvation. We learn about how Jesus Christ not only died for our sins, but resurrected. And we have a promise of a life resurrection that are to produce joy in us. When you think about all the promises that's given to us in the Bible, that's where our joy is going to come from. From the Word of God. It's not something that comes out of us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and teaches us and creates faith in us that we might have joy. And Jesus said, "I've come that your joy might be full." Well, what did he do? He came and he preached the word, did he not? I mean, that's what he came to do. And he came not only to fulfill the Old Testament, but to lay out some things in the New Testament. Now, you find here Apostle Paul being our apostle. We find in the book of Romans that he's our apostle, is giving out the word of God for the doctrines of the church. And he's telling us right here, hey, study. Know the Word of God, that your joy might be full. He said, "Fulfill you my joy." And that word fulfill, I mean, that means if you're going to fulfill something, you got to finish it. I mean, it's not full till it's full. You know what I'm saying? You got to fill it for it to be full. So he's saying, in other words, everything you need to finish ye my joy. And his joy was through the Scriptures. You'll find out over and over again, he's telling us about those mysteries that God gave to him. Those seven mysteries. And his gospel, which, you know, was the gospel that the Lord gave him. The good news for the church. Not the gospel of Christ. Not the gospel of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. He also, all of the apostles delivered that gospel, did they not? And Jesus Christ did it first. He was the first one to declare his gospel, which was his death on the cross, his finished work on Calvary, his burial, his resurrection, and his coming again. And we know about that. But Paul is laying out for the church the good things that God has for the church. The good news for the church. The fact that we are one in Christ. The fact that Christ indwells us. The fact that we have now eternal life because of what Christ did for us. The fact that we know that we have an inheritance. You know, and that all things have been given to us. We're an heir, a joint heir with Christ. Those things that Paul laid out and showed that we would be at the right hand of Christ throughout eternity. Now, he didn't promise Israel the same thing he promised the church. He promised them a land and a king to rule over that land. And that's the way it's going to be. We're going to be at the right hand of Christ there in the New Jerusalem. And you're going to have King David reigning in Jerusalem there in Israel. And the people of of God, Israel, in that land that God promised them, and you see the nations come up. You look at that, and you see the nations, they're all coming in to worship Christ. And they're all being taught. And every soul in Israel at that time will be prophets. They will all be giving out the word of God and the praises unto God. And all the nations will come to hear. Now, this is our place. Our place with Christ. And these things are being declared by the Apostle Paul. And that ought to give you joy to know that you are the bride of the Son of God. Amen? And you have your place will be at His right hand throughout eternity. That's what God has promised the church. And that's what Paul is telling these people. Fulfill you my joy. Learn the Word of God. I'm sad to say, we've had this Bible now. It was presented to us in English in the 1400s, and we know so little. Most of us have many volumes of the Bible at home. And I guarantee you, if you counted all your volumes and the amount of time that most people spend in them, it'd be probably less than 10 minutes a volume. You know? But, you know, we can know the preacher did a great job, I thought, the other day, bringing that out, you know. The fact that, you know, we have the Word of God. What are we, hey, this is something that God has given us, and what are we doing with it? You know, what have you done? What have you done with Christ? What have we done with the Bible? I remember years ago, I got a sermon from Benny Louder, and I put it in my Bible, that when, if I got called on, I had that. And I looked at that, some things that Christ has given us. And at the end of it, these four things Christ has given us. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us time. He's given us an apostle. He's given us His Son. And my final question is, what have we done with it? What have we done? What have we done with these good gifts that God's given us? What have we been doing with the Word of God? And He said you need to fulfill His joy. In other words, study the Bible, be filled with the Word of God, be filled with the joy of God, because that's where it comes from. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And what is going to make us strength? We're made strong by the faith of the Son of God as we take the Word of God in. It strengthens us for every battle. And this is a war, by the way. This is, you know, I think we forget that sometimes, that we're at war. I guarantee you right now, the enemy would like to shut the mouth of any person that's declaring this book this morning. And you can believe that there's probably some old devil hanging around here going to try to start some trouble, start a muck, start a mire. I guarantee you. I would say one of the first people to walk through that door every Sunday morning would be some old devil trying to start something, trying to make trouble in the house of God, trying to resist the Word of God. But I'm here to tell you, well, we're to stand fast. Amen. Immovable. Buddy, when he shows up, resist him. Amen. Huh? And it said, the Bible said he'll flee from you. Amen? Don't think he won't show up here, because he will. So I remember being at the old church, and I know some people came in. I think they had devils in them. I mean, I'm seriously, you could almost feel it on them. And some of them were very religious people. Some of them, you know, attended different kind. I never forget a couple guys that showed up, and they mocked the whole time they sat in services, just mocked. And they were Pentecostals, and they mocked the entire service. They sat back here and kind of giggled and laughed and like making fun, you know, of the beliefs that we had in this book. And I knew one of them. I knew him, and I wanted to go. And I spoke to him, and buddy, I felt like I was talking to, I really felt like I was talking to a devil. He's just like, he was just stone cold, didn't care about nothing. He didn't care about the gospel, didn't care about people being saved. All he cared about at that time was making a mock of our church. Thought it was weak and foolish and silly. Well, praise God for There was a lot of problems there, and there were some mistakes, and there were things that were done wrong. But I thank God for every soul that ever got saved there. And there was a lot of them. There was a lot of them. You see, did all them people that made professions get saved? That's between them and God. I ain't going to say yay or nay. That's none of my business.
Amen.
My business is to give out the gospel to the Lord Jesus Christ and to teach this book that people can be strengthened and go on and live for God. Now, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, and there's our problem, let each esteem other better than themselves. And look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. In other words, you care more about other people than you do yourself. That's what God is saying here. In other words, Jesus came in this world not to be served, but to serve. And that's what we are to have this mind, and let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we looked a little bit about that death, about dying to self, and the man that would seek to save his life shall lose it, but he didn't lose his life. Jesus said, for my sake in the gospel, the same shall save it. And he said, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, I tell you what, I don't argue with Jehovah's Witnesses. I did when I first got saved. I'd take them to bat and I'd argue with them. And you know what? They didn't get me nowhere. But I tell you one thing I don't mind doing. I like to take them that verse right there. I said, you want to talk about the name of Jehovah? Well, let me tell you something. Right here you find that God the Father has given Jesus Christ a name that is above how many names? Every other name. Now, Jehovah was the Lord Jesus' name in the Old Testament. It was. That was the Lord Jesus Christ's name in the Old Testament. It was fulfilled in the New Testament. I say, you want to know who Jesus is? I said, he's Jehovah Jesus. Jehovah means I am, or I am he. And Jesus means he that shall save his people from their sins. I say, you know, the most important thing to know, huh? Are you his people? Are you his people? Because if you ain't Jesus' people, he's not your Savior. He come to save his people from their sins. I said, that's what he did to me. And he's at the name of Jesus. Notice it. Now everybody likes to say, quote this verse like, every knee shall bow. Is that what it says? No, every knee should bow. There's coming a time, though, in the Scriptures, it's going to change from every knee should bow to every knee shall bow. Amen? Well, so when's that? That's when he returns, amen. When he comes back in power and great glory with the holy angels of heaven and that sword proceeding out of his mouth. Well, that day, every knee shall bow. But right now, every knee should bow. But every knee's not bowing, is it? You go out here and you tell people about the Lord, and a lot of them say, well, I believe that, but they won't bow. You know? They'll admit that they should, but they won't. If that knee bows, truly, at this age, you know what happens? You got salvation. Because he submitted to the will of God. You submitted unto Christ. And when you submit unto Christ, you get salvation. You've submitted your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, admitted you needed him, he's worthy, you saw him for who he is, he showed you for what you were, and you bowed, amen?
Amen.
You remember that time? I remember that time. I was past bowing, I was crawling like a worm on the floor when God got a hold of me. And man, snot flying, slobbering like a little baby. I mean, God broke my heart, showed me what I was. And when I saw what I was, I saw who he was. I didn't see it all together, but I knew enough to know, hey, he deserved my obedience. He deserved to listen to him. He deserved my worship. He deserved. In other words, what happened was, I said, God, you're right, and I'm wrong. Man, it won't bow. You know what he's still saying? God, you're wrong, and I'm right. I've heard people say, well, I just can't understand how God can send a person to a lake of fire forever and ever and ever just because, you know, man, he told some lies or he stole something or even if he killed somebody. It doesn't seem a just punishment to go there and burn forever and ever and ever and ever, they'll say. I said, you don't understand. That's not why they're going to go there and burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. They're not going to go to a lake of fire because they told lies. They're not going to go to a lake of fire because they stole or because they murdered or because they did anything. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. Amen. Huh? Amen. If he paid for them, they're paid for. Huh? You think they go to a lake of fire to pay for the sins that they committed? Jesus Christ died and took the full payment. He took the full weight of God's judgment on sin. And God poured that judgment out on his Son. It pleased God to bruise him. He died for the sins of the world. That's not why they go there. People go there because they said no to Jesus. Now, how worthy is he? Now, I'll tell you what, man. You can get by a lot on me. You can do a lot to me, and I'll forgive a lot you do to me. But I guarantee you, most of you, you let them mess with your family. You let them mess with your wife, say some ugly. You can say all the ugly things you want to me. But I'll be honest with you, you start saying ugly things about my wife, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what I'll do.
Amen. Very true.
There's a good chance I'm going to slap you right off. I'm not proud of that. I'm just talking about what's in me. I got a jealousy for my family. And God is jealous for his family as well. His name is jealous. Boy, you start messing. Hey, you start messing with God's family. He gets upset. When you speak evil about his Son. Jesus said, hey, okay, you know, you talk evil about me all you want. You can blaspheme me all you want. You can blaspheme my Father. We'll let you get by that. But you better not mess with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not one to believe that you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit one time and then you're doomed. No. But if you continue to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and the calling of the Holy Spirit, God said, boy, you in a heap of trouble. Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't understand. We were made fearfully and wonderfully. That soul is going to exist. I ain't going to say live. It's going to exist forever. And if you got the Son of God, you got life. If you don't have the Son of God, you have not life.
Amen.
You're going to go to where the dead go. You're going to go be with your daddy. You know? Family goes together. You're going to go with your, hey, we say, know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our big brother. God is our Father. We're going to go be with our family. You don't get saved. You reject God. You listen to Lucifer. You'll go be with your daddy. He's your daddy. You know, Jesus. A fella told me, he said, well, we all the same. I said, well, you calling Jesus a liar. A fella was telling me, he claims to be a believer, a Christian. He said, we're all the same. Muslims, whatever, we're all the same. I said, then you're saying Jesus is a liar. Jesus said, you are your father,
the devil and his deeds, amen, you will do. So you can't, we're not alike. We're not the same. We're not all brothers. You know?
And not all men love God. Says right here, God hath highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That kind of covers it, doesn't it? Things in heaven, the host of heaven, should bow. Hey, the things in the earth, that's all of us is in the earth. And the things under the earth, even the things in hell, should bow. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the glory of God. That every should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And, you know, and we, of course, we know in here that you don't work for your salvation. It don't say work for your salvation with fear and trembling. It says work out. Well, you know what work out is, right? Huh? You go to a gym, you know what it is to work out, right? You work that sweat out of you. You work that soreness out of you. You do all, you work it out. Not only that, you get a problem between two people. Maybe they had a disagreement or something. You come together, what do? You work it out. Huh? You do what's necessary to get things right. You work it out. And see, you've been given salvation. Now you need to work it out. You need to work out what it is that God wants you to do with your salvation. Your time in salvation. You need to work out what God's plan is for your life. You need to work out, what it means to be saved. You know, what it means to be a child of God. You need to work these things out. How do you do that? You get in the Bible. You study. You pray. You talk to God. And work it out, you see. Say, God, what do you want? You get together with God and you work it out. Huh? I mean, that's exactly what that verse is talking about here. It ain't talking about doing anything to merit salvation. Let's put it this way, there's nothing you can do to add anything to salvation. You just need to find out what God wants you to do and let Him work through you and do it. And I hear, keep on reading, and maybe this will make more sense. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You see, that's the reason why we need to come to God and work it out. For it is God that worketh in you. You know, we're familiar with that verse. He that began a good work in you shall fulfill it. Jesus Christ said. Jesus said he's going to finish the work that He started in you. And right here, it says, it is God that worketh in you both the will and the do. Hey, don't think it's of some goodness of yourself that you're in church and serving God. It ain't got nothing to do with us. We didn't do that. Hey, before I got saved, I was running along. Everything was just hunky-dory. I thought everything was great. Had a good job. Had a nice-looking wife. A couple good-looking kids. You know, had a decent job. Making good money. Partied on the weekends. Had a lot of fun. You know, I thought everything was great. Amen. God come along and upset my apple cart. It wasn't me. I didn't come looking for God. God come looking for me. But I thought He was on it, man. Everything He did, He said, I did it ignorantly. He thought He was doing wonderfully. Man, I'm destroying them bunch of renegade heretics. Man,
God's going to be pleased with me going, man, I've been putting the axe to the neck. Amen. God's going to be pleased with me. Huh? See? Paul wasn't looking for Jesus Christ. He hated that name. We didn't go looking for him. He come looking for us. Huh? Just like Paul was going down that road, buddy. Boy, got them letters. Said, "Well, I'm gonna get me some redneck Christians down there, buddy. And I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna whip them good. I'm gonna throw them in jail. And I'm gonna drag them back here. And if I can prove enough against them, we're gonna take them out and stone them." And a light from heaven shone down. You know what old Paul saw? The light hit him. He saw himself. Oh man, I'm all wrong. I'm a big old fat cockroach. I'm a nasty old buzzard. Oh God, I'm wrong. God work. It's God that worketh in you, both the will and the do of his good pleasure. And because of that, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, you're putting that light. You're putting that light. Now, you might not be putting out all the lights you could put out, but you're putting that light. You're saved. You are the light of the world. You got the light of God living in you. You know, I don't know. I've seen people before. They're very quiet, kind of timid people. People just kind of mock, pick on them and everything. But all of a sudden, I've seen God just kind of just, they just, all of a sudden, they just take a stand. You know what I'm saying? Okay, go too far. And make a stand. And I've seen people who just picked at them and badgered at them. You know what they did? They just kind of get in line. They said, okay. And they respected them. They might have picked on them every day, but you know what? They respected them. Because they knew that they were better than them. In their hearts, they knew it. God Almighty had done something in their life. And the way they behaved was better than the way they behaved. And they were convicted of it. We are the work of God. And though the devil will like to pull up all our faults, all our failings, and keep us browbeat to the point that we don't ever speak out or do anything. But I'm telling you, either way, God Almighty is going to get the glory out of us. And he's going to shine out of us. He's going to use us if we'll just let him. I tell you what, I've seen backslid Christians, man, who people made cause people to not have respect for them or for the church or whatever and make remarks, and God still get the glory out of it. Because God take them down. They'd go down, I'm going to tell you, and church people would stand up and take their place and make a difference. God's going to get the glory out of us one way or another. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Sometimes it might feel like it. But I'm going to tell you, every soul that got saved is saved. And it's going to bring glory to God. One way or another. Sometimes it seems like it's vain. Sometimes you might feel like you're living your life and you're giving your life to Christ and it seems like it's in vain. But it's not. And I got 16. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ.
that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The Bible said that the Word of God should not return void, but it will accomplish what God pleases. You want to accomplish something in this world and in this life? Hold forth the Word of life. Preacher says it all the time, get you a pocket full of tracts. God's Word ain't going to return void. You know, I made mention the other week about a guy I remember down there on the streets of Charlotte. Gave him a gospel tract. And he was about half drunk and walked off reading it very loudly. All this sin, making them all just reading it out loud. And I started to come back and rebuke him. And old Benny Larry said, shh, he's preaching. The Word of God will not return void. It will accomplish what God pleases. And we hold out the words of life to a world that doesn't know the truth. We ought to always remember that people are blinded. Don't let people that don't know Christ, don't let that discourage you that they don't want to hear or if they don't receive the things we say to them. Hey, give that word some time to work. Hey, I started getting it when I was just a little bitty boy. When I was 18, I turned away from it. Said, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in God. In my heart, I knew that there was, but I chose not to believe in that. And walked away from it. Professing to be an atheist, I knew that there was God. And every one of them knows it too. Just give the Word of God time to work. And a 14-year-old boy, God called me, and I rejected it. I said, no, I'm having fun. I got some friends. We're having a good time. Oh, if I get saved and get serious about this thing, you know, I knew I was going to catch the devil at school, you know. And I was a coward. But the Word of God, I couldn't get away from it. That week that God called me, I could hear that old Methodist preacher. Jesus Christ is coming. Boy, you better be ready. Huh? Or you ain't. You in a lot of trouble. Scared me, boy. Shook me up. Hung me out over hell. Later on, I got married, my wife had gotten saved. We had dated a couple times, and in the meantime, she had gotten saved. And I remember talking with her, and, you know, and she was talking to me about the need for Christ and everything. I said, what has he ever done for me? That's what I was thinking. That Word of God was still in there. Still working and chewing. Them roots was going out, breaking up that stony heart. Every time somebody comes along, you know how it is. You get an old rock, you get a little crack in it, next thing you know, a seed blows in there, and next thing you know, there's a tree comes sprouting up, busts that rock up. Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing sunder of the soul and spirit and the marrow and the flesh. It'll cut our soul away from this place. God Almighty can take the Word of God and do a work. And all we have to do is sow the seed. Sow the seed. That's our job. That's our only job, to get out there and sow the seed. Holding forth the word of life, I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. If he had held up himself, or if he had held up his opinions, or if he had held up his philosophies, as a lot of people are doing today, then is this the word of God is not going to have effect, because you got to give it out. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 16. Romans 15, verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about and to Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He says right here, holding forth the word of life. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service your joy, of faith, I joy and rejoice with you. Hey, sorry. 17. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. It appears to me what he's saying right there, if I be sacrificed upon the altar of your faith. What's he talking about? He's talking about faith coming by hearing. He's talking about preaching the Word of God. But he's saying, if I be offered, if I lay myself out, presenting yourself a living sacrifice unto God, and you're laying yourself out on that altar of others' faith, don't you're giving yourself what? So that others might hear the Word of God, and that faith may be produced in their lives, that we might be a sacrifice for others. That our life will be sacrificed for others. He goes on. The sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And what did he say joy come from? Will fill you my joy? It comes through faith. Faith by the Word of God. And now he's rejoicing because of their faith. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortening you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Now that's a sad statement, isn't it? For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. But you know the proof of him that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier. But your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Now, man, wouldn't that be a sad state to know that somebody had to lay down his life because we didn't do our part? We hadn't made up what we were supposed to do. Now, that is the closest to a rebuke that Paul gives his church. But he says to them that this Epaphroditus, who
made himself a living sacrifice. That's what he done. And he gave himself wholly to the needs of the Apostle Paul. Now, as a brother, he wholly gave himself to the needs of the Apostle Paul and counted his life not dear to him. And the Bible said he was near death because of what he sacrificed. All that he gave. Man, that makes me feel kind of shallow. This fella had gave to the point that he was near death. But why? For the work of Christ. He was nigh unto death. Not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. And you know, Epaphroditus. Don't you? We need to remember that name when it's time to give, when it's time to go, when it's time, you know what I mean? When it's time to reach out to others. Huh? Epaphroditus. He made up your life, he said, Paul said. He made up your life. And he was nigh unto death because of it. And he counted it